I should hope not, Susanna thought, and gave a little shiver. The old man had turned away, but Roland gave her a curious look. She smiled and shook her head as if to say, "It's nothing," which of course it was. She wasn't about to tell the gunslinger that a spavined nag with cataracts on her eyes and her ribs showing had given her a case of the whimwams. Roland had never called her a silly goose, and by God she didn't mean to give him cause to do so now. As if hearing her thoughts, the old nag looked back and bared her few remaining teeth at Susanna. The eyes in Lippy's bony wedge of a head were pus-rimmed plugs of blindness above her somehow gruesome grin. She whinnied at Susanna as if to say, "Think what you will, Blackbird, I'll be here long after thee's gone thy course and died thy death." At the same time the wind gusted, swirling snow in their faces, suffing in the snow-laden firs and hooting beneath the eaves of Collins's little house. It began to die away and then strengthened again for a moment, making a brief, grieving cry that sounded almost human. 5. The outbuilding consisted of a chicken coop on one side, Lippy's stall on the other, and a little loft stuffed with hay.
"I can get up there and fork it down," Colin said, "but I take my life in my hands every time I do, thanks to this bust hip of mine." "Now, I can't make you help an old man," sighed Deschaine, "but if you would..."
Roland climbed the ladder, resting a tilt against the edge of the loft floor, and tossed down hay until Collins told him it was good, plenty enough to last Lippy through even 4 days' worth of blow.
"For she don't eat worth what you might call a Polish fuck, as you can see looking at her," he said.
Then the gunslinger came back down, and Collins led them along the short back walk to his cottage.